Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Addiction Unlimited podcast, where you get to learn everything you want to know about addiction and recovery. I'm your host, Angela Pugh, co-founder of Kansas City Recovery, life coach, and recovering alcoholic. To learn more about me, you can listen to episode zero on your podcast app or find us on the web at addictionunlimited.com. Hey there. Welcome to episode number 132 of the Addiction Unlimited podcast. I'm your coach, Angela Pugh. Thank you for hanging out with me today, listening to the pod. I hope you're having a fantastic day as always. I'm starting to feel a little old, you guys, when I say these podcast numbers. Like, we have so many episodes now. And I'm like, wait a minute, have I been doing it that long? You know, time flies by. And even with all of the kind of craziness of 2020, it's still, this year has really flown by for me. And I know you guys know that too, especially when you're making big changes in your life and shifting things and doing things differently. And you're getting intentional about what you do and how you spend your time and who you spend your time with. When you get really focused on things, time flies. Like, it's crazy. And I know you guys see this too, like with your kids, just how fast they grow up. I see it with my nieces and nephews. It's just absolutely crazy. But I'm so happy to be here. I love the pod. It has been so much fun, and thinking back to the beginning and how it's evolved and what we've grown into and all you guys support. Like, I just love you, love you, love you. And we're growing really freaking fast. So thank you for that too. Like, somebody said to me, I had a big jump in downloads, right? Per month. Like, my numbers are getting really big. And somebody said to me, like, oh, Angela, that's awesome. That means people are sharing episodes. So thank you for that. If you are sharing episodes, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's so huge. And I love that. That just makes me so happy. So thank you for that. And if you love this one, share it, okay? Today, we're going to talk about a few things that people do to stay drunk, okay? However you want to word this. But these are just some common reasons that people can't seem to tame the sobriety monster. Well, I guess the sobriety is not the monster. I guess the addiction's the monster, right? But we're going to fly through about 11 things why people stay drunk. Okay? This is going to be a good one. And again, like, if you love this episode, if there's good information and you appreciate it, definitely share it with somebody else you know that's going through the same stuff, right? Because we're going to really run through some important things here. And it's not going to be necessarily anything you haven't heard before, but, well, maybe a couple of these you haven't heard before. So anyway, let's just jump into it. 11 reasons people stay drunk. Here we go, my friends. Number one, they don't want to make sacrifices. When you think about this, like, really, could you give up going out a few nights a week? Or think about what your life would look like without happy hour? I mean, you never know until you're really willing to give something up to build a better life. If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then something has to change, right? You have to give some things up from your lifestyle now in order to live a better alcohol-free lifestyle for your future. You know what I'm saying? This is a very real thing. There are always sacrifices involved in everything that we do. This is not specific to recovery or giving up drugs and alcohol. There's always sacrifices. You guys, when I started at the end of last year, the end of 2019, I started my new like health regimen, right? Decided I really want to start taking care of myself. I want to start taking care of my body because I abused the poor thing for so many years with drinking, and I smoked cigarettes for 20 years, and I've eaten like crap my entire life. So I just had a mindset shift. And I was like, you know what? This isn't about weight anymore. This is about, like, I'm older, right? I'm 48. I'm thinking about things like bone density and cancer and all these things that happen as we age. And I was like, you know what? I just want to be better to my body. I want to stop effing around. I don't need to be abusing myself. And when I started that journey and really being committed to it and committed to making it a long-term lifestyle change, I had to make sacrifices, not only of some of the crappy foods that I ate, right? But I definitely had to make sacrifices in how I spent my time. I have a couple of good girlfriends who I would go to eat dinner at their houses and things like that, especially once quarantine started. And I definitely had some habits that I had to change, right? I had people that I would go out to eat with or go to their house to eat, and they didn't want to respect my new lifestyle, right? So I had to stop doing those things. But that's a decision I had to make for my life, because I am making changes in my life and I'm going to be true to myself. And that means I'm not going to go to my girlfriend's house and eat dinner at 9 o'clock, you know, because that's not what I'm doing. So I had to make some sacrifices for sure. Ask yourself, what are you willing to give up? And maybe it's temporary, right? Like, maybe it's not giving something up forever, but there have to be sacrifices, right? In my situation, I had to sacrifice some dinners out with people, and I had to sacrifice going to my girlfriend's house for dinner. I had to sacrifice some time, right? Because working out takes time. And not only that, like, especially as a woman, right? I'm going and working out and then I'm sweaty and it's a shower and it's doing my hair and makeup and blah, 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 all that stuff, right? So it's a sacrifice of time for sure. I had to make sacrifices in my work schedule to work around being committed to going to the gym every day and all of that stuff. So think about it. What are you willing to give up so that you can stay sober and live healthy? What sacrifices could you really make? Maybe it is, you know, an hour less of television so you can spend an hour in a meeting. You know, but think about those sacrifices. That's number one. They don't want to make sacrifices. Number two, they want to keep up appearances. This is huge. I cannot tell you how much I am up against this little battle with appearances, because we get so caught up in what will other people think. You know, that dreaded keeping up with the Joneses mindset. But when you think about it honestly and realistically, the Joneses have painted this picture for you that looks really great. They might look like they have it all together on the outside, but I promise you, their life is just as jacked up as everybody else, right? They're probably struggling with some anxiety, depression. They might be taking antidepressants, anti-anxiety meds. They might have some kids with ADD or developmental issues. I mean, who knows? They might have a broken marriage that isn't good, where they're living like roommates. They might have a mountain of debt, right? And their car is leased, or maybe it's about to be repossessed. Like, who knows, dude? You don't know what's going on with the Joneses. But I promise you, they've got issues, because we all have issues. So if you want to keep up with the Joneses or keep up those appearances, then you're going to follow the herd right into being the hot mess of your neighborhood, right? Because that's what happens. If you want to stop drinking, if you want to change your lifestyle, don't let people be your role model that don't have the lifestyle you want. And if you fall in that kind of comparison trap, I want you to really think about that insides versus outsides thing, okay? You can't compare how you feel on the inside with what somebody else's situation looks like on the outside. Those are two very different things. That's apples and oranges, my friend. Do not compare your insides to somebody else's outsides. Okay, number three. I gotta look at my notes. Here we go. Number three, they've lost hope. When you're buried under what feels like a million pounds of pressure, stuck in this yo-yo sobriety relapse roller coaster, it is very easy to start to feel like there's no way out. There is no silver lining, no light at the end of the tunnel, no hope for a better tomorrow. After relapsing month after month, or however long somebody may have been battling this situation, and you're not making any headway, right? Sometimes you feel like you're never going to make it. And if you can't find a reason to keep fighting, sooner or later, you're going to give up. Some people stay drunk just because they're too afraid to move at all, to do anything, right? We get stuck in that fight, flight, or freeze mode, and you're just frozen, and you just can't do anything. Being drunk, too, and I know this is going to sound kind of crazy, but it really isn't. Being drunk is a comfort zone. You hear me talk about the comfort zone all the time, but being drunk, as miserable as you are, there is some comfort in that because you know what to expect. You know what everything is going to be like. You know what's going to happen. You know how you're going to feel. You know your habits and patterns. You know how everybody's going to respond to you. You know how you're going to feel the next day. You know the hangover. All of that knowing provides its own sense of comfort. Even if it's negative. If you've always used alcohol, then it's hard to make that change. If you've always done it, it's hard to stop doing it. And there's no question, trying to stop drinking can be scary and overwhelming. There's no way around that. But remember, millions of people do it every single day. Millions and millions of us have done it. And I promise you, if I can do it, so can you. I promise you that. Okay, number four. Number four reason people stay drunk. They don't make sobriety a priority. Everybody has good intentions, right? But they keep putting off quitting drinking, saying, I'll start tomorrow, or I'll start over tomorrow. I can start over next week. It's no big deal. It's my girlfriend's birthday this weekend. I want to drink. I can start again on Monday. But each week passes by, and each month passes by, and guess what? Still no sobriety. And getting sober isn't exactly a fun hobby, right? I get that. It takes a lot of work. Changing your lifestyle is very uncomfortable, but the end result is worth it. Make it a priority. You will not regret it. You will see a side of yourself that you never knew existed. You will get in touch with an inner strength that you never knew you had. And I promise you it's there because, again, all the millions of us that have gotten sober and done it and stayed sober long term, there's nothing special about us. I don't have any magical powers, you guys. I was just willing and I made it a priority and I did all the things I tell you to do all the time. There's nothing special about me. I don't have some special qualities that you're lacking. I promise you. I'm just a good old-fashioned drunk. But I knew to make it a priority, and I did make it a priority. All right, number five. They don't know why they handle alcohol the way they do. This is a big one too. We have this conversation a lot because it is really baffling. All of us go through that, really baffling. Like, what the hell is wrong with me? Why can't I figure this out? Why can't I drink like other people? Why does this have a hold of me? I can't control it. This doesn't make any damn sense. We just can't figure out why we do it the way we do. But you know, you learn a lot about drinking long before you ever take a drink. You know, I talk all the time about this environmental piece of drinking and recovery. And environmental just means your environment, right? Whether that's your home, your family, your work, your car, it's just your environment. And we are inundated with messages about alcohol that, you know, it is how we celebrate and it's how we relax and it's what we do when we're stressed. And, you know, we have all these messages coming at us all the time. And for some people, maybe it's in your household, right? A lot of people, certainly alcoholics, grow up with alcohol in their household or an alcoholic parent. That's your environment. And it directly impacts how you view alcohol today in your life. Really, it's more about taking the action, right? Take the action, make the decision, get your mind and your behavior and your beliefs to follow your decision, and that's how you change your recovery mindset for good, right? Or you change your drinking mindset for good, and that's what we're all going for. This is a big one. This is a really big one. It's just not knowing why we do it the way we do it, and sometimes it takes a while to figure that out. You know, I don't know that I really connected all those dots early on in my sobriety. I just knew I didn't drink well and I had to put it down and walk away from it. And that's all I cared about in the beginning was making sure I stayed away from it. I didn't want to go back. But I'm not sure I could really connect all the reasons why. I do know toward the end of my drinking when I was really, you guys have heard me talk about this before, you know, the end of my drinking was so ugly because I knew I needed to give up alcohol, but I couldn't figure out how to do it, right? And this is what I say. I couldn't even figure out how to start stopping. Like, it just seemed so baffling to me. Like, I get the don't take the next drink, right? Don't drink. Okay, cool. But what the hell do you do with all the rest of your time? That's why I talk about all the things I talk about on the podcast, to help you figure out what to do next. But I remember staring at the glass and thinking, what the hell is going on? Like, it's a liquid in a glass. Like, I really can't control it. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. How can I not control a liquid in a glass? Like, it's just so baffling. But I can't. So I had to stop, and that's what I did. All right, number six. They've bought into the story. You've heard me talk about this before, right? All the stories about drinking. It's totally normal to drink. Everybody drinks. Why wouldn't you drink? You'll never be alcohol free, so why even try? And some of these are stories you hear from outside sources, and some of these are stories that the committee is telling you in your head, right? Like, oh, you're never going to be able to do this. Why would you even try? Like, you're never going to get this. You can't go without drinking. It's too important. It's your whole lifestyle. This is so funny to me too. Everybody tells me this about their job. Like, everybody's like, oh my God, this is such a big part of my work. Alcohol is such a big piece of my work. I'm like, listen, dude, I was a bartender. Alcohol was a big part of my work. But like, you're a mortgage broker. It's not a big part of your work. You've just made it that way. But you buy into the stories that society tells you, that other drunks tell you, that the committee's telling you inside your head. And it's all absolute lies, right? There's this drinking culture that's pretty toxic. And again, it's all those messages, right? It tells you, oh, drinking is how we celebrate. Drinking is how we relax. Drinking is what helps us fall asleep. Drinking is how we connect with other people. Like, it's just being shoved down your throat all the time. But all of that, all those stories are lies. Start telling yourself different stories. Number one, there are plenty of people that don't drink. I promise you, there are a shitload of people in the world that just don't drink alcohol. And not all of them are recovering alcoholics. Some people don't drink because they just don't like to drink. They don't like the taste of it, or they don't like how it makes them feel. I know that's a really foreign thought for those of us that are alcoholics, because that's what we're going for, is that feeling. But some people are just not into it. And when you're stuck in the still drinking place or the trying to get sober place, of course, we typically have created this lifestyle that everybody drinks. And you think that just everybody in the world drinks. And I was the same way. I thought everybody in the world drank because I worked in a bar every day. Everybody I saw every day drank. And I thought that's how the whole world was. But really, that's just how I created my life. Now I've been sober a long time. I see so many people, so many places that don't drink. And I can't tell you how many times I'll have somebody when I'm at a social event or something, and somebody will come up to me and be like, oh, you don't drink either? I'm like, no, I don't drink. Like, oh, thank God I'm not the only one. I'm like, heck yes. I promise you, you don't want me drinking. We'll end up on the news and not in a good way. So don't buy into all those stories. There are plenty of things to do not drinking, and there are plenty of people to hang out with when you're not drinking. Do not buy into the stories. Number 7, their spouse isn't on the same page, or your person, your partner, whoever is not on the same page. Drinking in relationships is tricky territory, and it is extremely challenging when you're a part of a couple and you're not on the same page. Maybe one of you gets sober, the other doesn't. Even if you get sober and your partner doesn't get sober, even if they don't have a problem, maybe your partner is somebody that just has one drink, or they don't even care if they have one drink or they don't, or they order a beer and drink half of it and leave it on the table. Those crazy fools. But if you're not on the same page, this can be challenging. There's no question. More challenging if your partner is also an overdrinker or an alcoholic themselves, right? This isn't a place really that you want to be on opposite sides. But if you really want to get sober, you have to find a way to create a new page, right? Maybe it's not a page of black and white, sober or drinking, right? Maybe there's a new page somewhere in the middle. And this means you're going to have to advocate for yourself, right? You're going to have to stick up for yourself and say, hey, this makes me uncomfortable. I don't want this here. You're going to have to communicate, right? You have to have some good conversation and set some healthy boundaries, because you're a team. Right? It's not optional. Certainly if you're married, you become a we, not a you and them. You're a we now. And you want to be on the same team, right? You have to start acting like a team. You want to fight the issue and not fight each other. So maybe your healthy boundaries are, well, let's not have a refrigerator full of beer, right? Or 5 bottles of wine. Like, let's move that stuff somewhere else so it's not where I can see it all the time. Every time I open the refrigerator to get a bottle of water, I don't want to see 82 cases of beer, right? It's just not good for me. I don't even want the damn beer, but I also don't want to see it all the time. So maybe that's how you set some boundaries. Like, let's just keep it somewhere else. But again, you want to fight the issue. Don't fight each other, okay? Number 8, they think they can't do it. It's another reason people stay drunk. They think they can't do it. Believe it or not, it's not someone's ability that's the problem. It's behavior. Okay? We are all capable. We are all able to put down drinking and live an alcohol-free life. Everybody's capable of it. It's so important to have a plan. Just making the choice to be intentional with your decisions will make you feel like you have more motivation, right? Because you're being intentional. You're moving toward your goal. It's not that you can't do it. Sometimes it really is an issue of having drinking in the house or family drinking. And if that's the case for you, the great news is you can decide how much to be around. It's not that you can't do it. It's that you have to make some different decisions. You have to maybe have some quiet time. Maybe you separate yourself for a little while, right? Maybe you have a room that you go to, or a back porch that you go to, whatever it takes. start doing things to protect your sobriety. And these days, like, the options are kind of endless, really. I mean, there's so much available online where you can really do a million different things to protect your sobriety, and you can do it with earbuds in. Nobody even has to know. You know what I'm saying? But this is not about not being able to. You know, you can do it. You can do it. And maybe it's time to get really bold and get a coach or do an online course or go to treatment if that's what you need. But you have to step up and step into what you want, get intentional, get serious, make it a priority, make sacrifices now for your long-term goals, right? Don't let a few hurdles come between you and your desire to be alcohol-free. All this stuff is fixable, and you are perfectly capable of doing it. Number 9, they aren't prioritizing. It is no wonder so many people feel like they are spinning their wheels and they are not getting very far. If you don't prioritize and you don't really have a plan for your sobriety, if you don't tell yourself where to go and what to do, I can promise you, you're going to go off the rails real quick. Being recovery smart means more than just reading books and listening to podcasts. You have to be prepared, and it has to be a priority to be prepared for any kind of downtime, any kind of times of craving, any upcoming events or holidays. It's not hard. It just takes a little bit of energy. And there's all kinds of, again, online resources. If you're a member of our Sober Society membership, you can have that right on your phone. I mean, we have a private chat. You've got people at your fingertips. Like, it makes it so easy. It takes all the stress out of it. And the best thing about it is you can take it with you anywhere you go. There's no excuse for not knowing what to do for your recovery. There are tons of options. We talk about all of them on here a lot. Number 10, they haven't removed drinking from their life. Getting sober is awesome. But if you keep wine around for guests or for emergency visits, or that's your backup plan just in case, you're going to land yourself back with a hangover. Just don't do it. Get rid of that stuff. Get rid of it all. Get your wine glasses out of your kitchen. Get the booze out of your kitchen. Get rid of your wine bottle openers and your beer bottle openers. Be done with it forever. If you follow my plan, you know for sure how important this environmental piece is, right? And we just talked about it a few minutes ago. You have to remove this stuff from your life, right? It's not, just like I was saying a minute ago, it's not going to do me any good if every time I open my refrigerator, there's a ton of beer in there. That's not serving you well. Remove drinking from your life. Again, this could be temporary. Doesn't mean it has to be like this forever. But if you know this pushes buttons for you, then get rid of it. This is part of making it a priority and part of making sacrifices, right? It might be temporary, but get rid of it. Get it out of your life. Get it out of your sight. Protect yourself if it's what you really want. Number 11, they don't have a plan. Last one, they don't have a plan. Everybody's got good intentions, right? They want to kick alcohol to the curb for the last time, but you don't know how. You've been drinking so long that getting out from under it feels so overwhelming and feels impossible, but it's not. It is not. People email me every single day celebrating their victories because it's not that it's easy. It's simple, right? Our plans are simple. things to do are simple, the hard part is the follow through and getting yourself to do it and take action, right? This is why we all have coaches, right? Because it's not knowing what to do that holds us back. It's actually doing it. We all know what to do. We just don't get off our buns and take action. That's why I've got a coach for everything. I have to have that accountability. You hear me talk about it all the time. All you need is a plan. You have to know what you're doing, when you're doing it. You wouldn't get in your car for a road trip and not put it in your GPS, right? You have to have GPS for your sobriety also. You have to have that awareness. Know what you're doing, when you're doing it. Know how to protect yourself. Know how to communicate properly so you can help your family and friends around you support you in this process also. But it's not rocket science, you guys. It's just as humans, we tend to be a little bit lazy, right? We don't want to put together the plan. We want to just think about it in our head. We don't want to be held accountable because we'd rather watch Netflix, right? Instead of having a coach telling you, hey, you're supposed to do this today. Have you done this today? Are you finished with this? Did you email me this? Or whatever the thing is. So let's recap these 11 things, 11 reasons people stay drunk. Right now, number one, they don't want to make sacrifices. Number two, they want to keep up appearances. Number three, they've lost hope. Number four, they don't make sobriety a priority. Number five, they don't know why they handle drinking the way they do. Number six, they've bought into the stories. Number seven, their partner isn't on the same page. Number eight, they think they can't do it. Number nine, they aren't prioritizing. Number 10, they haven't removed drinking from their life. And number 11, they don't have a plan. All right. I laid a lot on you today. I hope that was super helpful. I always want to give you guys information that can help you get farther, faster, understand more, understand how this thing works. It is a monster. There's no question. But I promise you guys, like I said earlier, if I can do it, I absolutely freaking promise you, you can do it. Okay? You can. I'm here for you. Let me know if you need anything. Jump in that Facebook group if you guys want extra support too. Like, it's killer. It's growing so fast every day, and there's a ton of support in there and guidance, and everybody celebrates their victories and gives each other tips and tricks on how to deal with different things. It's really awesome, and I will link that in the show notes. I hope you're having a fantastic day. I hope you share this episode with somebody else on a similar journey, and I will see you next week.
You've reached the end of another great episode of the Addiction Unlimited podcast, candid and honest conversation about addiction and recovery. Be sure to visit us at addictionunlimited.com to join the conversation and access show notes and links to everything we talked about. Love this episode? Please take 30 seconds to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes to help us improve and give you the information you want. Thanks for listening. See you next week.